Log Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is a special edition of Franchise Today. Today, I have a special guest, Susan Blackbeth, the founder of Dealmaker Summit. But before we get into the meat of the show, I would like to shout out to all our friends, our franchise friends, at the International Franchise Expo going on in New York City. Also remind everybody, next week, Franchise Consumer Marketing Conference in Buckhead, put on by our strategic partner, Franchise Update Media Group. Tomorrow, my guest on the regular edition of Franchise Today, as the Franchise Model Series continues, and we're talking about franchise sales and development, none other than Robert Stidham, the president at Franchise Dynamics. So it really should be a great show. Next week, we're going to wrap up the series with Amit Pametra from FranConnect as we talk about franchising, actually technology in franchising. Should also be a great show. A while back, during our fourth annual legal series, one of my guests was Amy Chung from Chang Cohen, and we talked about private equity and franchising. And Chang Cohen is one of the premier sponsors, I guess the platinum sponsor, for an upcoming event called Dealmaker Summit 2013, Franchising Capitalize. And I'm really honored today to have as my guest Susan Blackbeth, the founder of Dealmaker Summit. And this is the second annual summit. Last year, Susan and I were on this same show on a special edition talking about it as we were leading into the inaugural event. Susan, welcome back to Franchise Today.
Thank you so much, Paul. What a great day. It's exciting to be back.
Well, it's great to have you back. You know, there's so much talk about private equity and franchising, and if you do a Google search of private equity and franchising, you see a lot of general fundamental stuff. You know, what is private equity? There's even some stuff out there, some information out there talking to private equity firms about what is franchising. And it's very, very fundamental. And having had the honor of attending last year's Dealmaker Summit, I know that Dealmaker Summit is well more advanced than this. And it really is almost like a shark tank, if you would. So why don't we take a step back and tell the listeners that are not yet aware of Dealmaker Summit where this evolved from, the idea, the vision that you had, and then let's talk about last year's event and then, of course, leading into this year's event. So take us back on that journey.
Sounds great. Well, what I do, part of what I do as the Chief Operating Officer for Superwash Car Washes, which is my family's business with about 300 units of self-serve car washes across the country, is always look for strategic partnerships and opportunities to advance the brand, as many executives of their companies do out there. And, you know, my folks are in their early 60s, and so we've often been having conversations in the family and amongst our leadership team as to what comes next for the company. And so I spent several years just getting to know people and trying to understand this world a little bit myself to see if it would fit for Superwash. And time and time again, we just found that, private equity wasn't really matching up with what our needs were. But I got to thinking, why does this have to be so hard? Like, why does it have to be so hard for a franchise company that wants to grow, wants to continue to thrive, to navigate these waters? And as a kid, we were clients of the Northern Trust for years, and the Northern put on a great event where they matched up African-American entrepreneurs with angel and venture money. And I got a chance to kind of see that from the periphery. And so one morning in the fall of, gosh, would that have been 2011, amazingly enough, I was lifting weights and I thought, gosh, we don't have to have it be this hard. Why can't we kind of picture and mirror what the Northern did? And if you have money, you wear a green name tag. And if you have a company that needs money, why don't you wear a blue name tag? Let's put them in a room together and see if we can get some deals done and basically make it a consolidated roadshow, essentially. And so I started playing with that idea and calling lots of folks that I trust and respect a lot in the franchise industry and just kind of beta testing the idea a little bit and seeing if I was totally crazy or just sort of crazy to think about taking this on. And after I had some validation of the idea and even had one really good friend who's he's kind of my devil's advocate when I need one. He said, "Susan, do you really think you're the only person that's ever thought of this idea?" And I said, "No, but apparently I'm the only person willing to do something about it." And so we started running with it, and a very important conversation came along that I'll remember the rest of my life probably, that I had to have with my dad, because clearly Dealmakers takes a lot of time. Even with the amazing support I am surrounded by, Dealmakers takes a lot of time, and some of that time comes away from my quote-unquote day job of being the CEO of Superwash. And so I needed to talk to my CEO, but I needed to talk to my dad even more. And so I called him one morning and we did our business stuff, and I said, "Okay, but for the next 10 minutes, I need you to be my dad. Don't be my CEO, just be my dad. I need to bounce this idea off of you." And so I did, and I told him about this. I said, "Dad, for all these years where you've talked about that the vision for Superwash is there for you, I've never really understood that. How can this vision just be there?" Because my dad is truly a visionary leader, and he used to say, "Susan, it's as clear to me what we're supposed to do tomorrow as a window that has the shade pulled up on it. I can absolutely see exactly what we're supposed to do." And I never got that until Dealmakers came along, because my vision for Dealmakers was so clear to me that it was as if the event had already happened. And so I was explaining this to him. I said, "Dad, I can't shake this vision. I've tried to call 30 people and have them tell me why I shouldn't do this, and nobody has yet. I feel like I can really do this and do a great service to franchising, hopefully, and maybe make some connections that would benefit Superwash along the way. And here's the best line that came out of it that I'll remember for the rest of my life." And my dad said, "Susan, of all the things I've learned in business over the years, one of the best is to never ignore a vision." And he said, "You need to chase this rabbit around this tree until you find out why you shouldn't." And that's part of the reason that I love working with my family and love working at Superwash, is because they're so supportive of all my crazy dreams. But really, that's where it started. We went out, and I am a client, in honor of full disclosure, I am a client of Chang Cohen and have been for many years, all the way back to when Amy was at DLA Piper. And so I went to my friend Amy and said, "Hey, is this something you guys are interested in?" And her and Rick signed on to sponsor. Several other sponsors followed, and we were able to get it done and just have it be a really great, fun, different, productive event.
Yeah, it really was a great event, great venue. Everything about it was great. And, of course, we could never forget the absolute awesome Chicago weather in the last week of August. I mean, that was fantastic.
We ordered that specially just for you, Paul.
Yeah, I imagine. you know, in the beginning of this year, Law Journal Newsletters, LJN's Franchising Business and Law Alert, wrote an article about impact of private equity on franchising. And it was an article about the observations from industry leaders. And it starts out by saying, "As 2013 begins, franchising is being transformed by major investments in franchise systems by private equity funds. FBLA asked leading franchise attorneys how they see private equity affecting the industry, and their responses reflect widespread optimism that these investors are bringing much more than the widely appreciated funding that can fuel franchise expansion. And with their focus on investor returns, private equity investors can help franchises to define their strategies more carefully and to be relentless in seeking to improve profitability. However, these benefits come at the price of a loss of independence that can be especially hard for founders of franchise systems who have accepted private equity ownership." And I know last year at the end of or towards the end of the Dealmakers Summit, we had a panel up there. I remember John Rocci was up there. Ken Walker was up there and describing their experience in private equity and franchising with their organizations. And, of course, with anything, there's pros and cons. But I think what I'd like to explain, or have you explain to our listeners today, is how Dealmakers separates itself from any other type of private equity and franchising event and is basically more of a Shark Tank type of atmosphere, and ultimately starts the relationship, hopefully, that one of the brands or multiple brands winds up securing funding. And I really believe in this type of environment. It's starting this relationship and seeing and hearing the vision of the founder and how it really establishes the foundation with these private equity funds moving forward?
Well, there's a couple. So I've recently started describing Dealmakers as the Bachelor meets Shark Tank, but for franchising companies and for money, not for love. And I think it's really important that franchisors understand that private equity companies, when you're speaking specifically about the big private equity funds, the Trivests, the Halifax, the Rourkes, they have dollars in those funds that they have to put to work on a certain time frame. And so a lot of franchisors maybe don't understand that. And so these guys on the equity side, they're out attending events because they have to have deals in the pipeline, just like we do on the development side of franchising, because they know that they have to speak to so many people a year to get, you know, X number of companies to actually go into diligence, to get X number of companies to actually close. And so it's all about the numbers, literally, for them too. And so, you know, I talk to a lot of folks because as you know, Paul, we pre-qualify every franchisor that gets to fill one of our 10 elusive franchisor spots. And so each of those goes through a qualification process. And when we're talking to them, I talked to several folks last year who said, "You mean I have to give up a percentage of my company ownership?" Yes,
yep.
That's what I mean. And so we were starting at the real basics with some folks, and many of those folks in discussions with me and others, you know, really came to the realization that they were just too early on in the process. And we've all been there. I do not mean that as a negative or a slight. I was happy to be able to help with part of the education process for someone there. But, you know, when you're dealing with private equity, these are the big boys. And they have a job to do. Now, I agree with that article that you read that a lot of times these equity firms bring a lot more with them than just dollars. But it is about finding the right fit. Just like it's, you know, in franchising, for a franchise candidate or a prospective franchisee, franchising can be a really powerful tool if you find the right franchise that's a good fit for you and your personal goals and your culture. Same thing when you're a company looking for an equity investor. A lot of times it is about culture. What are they looking for? Are they a five-and-done equity company, meaning that at the end of 5 years, they have to turn that company and sell it and recognize their returns? That's very standard in the world of private equity. But we have to be aware of these different, I don't want to call them rules because they're certainly not rules, but guidelines of taking on an equity investor. So one of the big things that we heard last year, and I agree 100% with it as feedback on the event, was there was a big discrepancy between the size of the companies that were presenting and the size of the funds that were in the room. And I mean, we had some of the you know, biggest players in franchising as far as equity goes in the room. I mean, the Halifax Group and Investors Management Corporation, Rourke was in there, Riverside, Trivest. I mean, Levi and Weissman, we're talking big, you know, big players. And they have to have a minimum of $3 million in EBITDA in a company for them to be able to look at that according to their fund rules.
Mm-hmm.
So then we had some nice-sized companies presenting, but then we had a couple of the smaller ones because it was an inaugural event and we thought that there might be some good synergies, and there ended up being. But one of our main goals this year is to close that gap, bring in some bigger companies, and bigger doesn't have to be huge by any means, but just a little bit bigger companies that are on the up and on the coming, and then really start to look at some different investors. So, yes, the equity guys that I just mentioned, they're coming back in spades. They love to be here. They love to meet each other because they don't get to spend a lot of time networking with one another. They want to see who is on the up and come as far as franchise companies, because maybe they can't buy them today, but they might be a perfect candidate 5 to 7 years from now once they get some intermediate funding. You know, there's a lot of reasons for these equity guys to be there. But this year we're also looking at adding in, you know, some franchisors that are looking to acquire brands. We've got a couple of those folks that have already signed up this year. They said, you know, my company's in a good cash position. We want to grow not only through adding units of our core system, but we want to bring on additional brands and integrate them in, which I think is brilliant. So they want to be here. And then we've got some smaller, like I would say, intermediate-sized funds that maybe $1 million to $3 million in EBITDA makes sense for them. And then we've got some great folks. I don't know if we call them franchising veterans, Paul, or just what we would call them, but we would just call them individuals who have cash that are interested, or access to cash, who are interested in putting that cash to work for them in the franchise space. And they don't necessarily want to get in and run companies on a day-to-day basis, but they want to be investors and they want to help see a company grow. And so we've got some individual investors that are coming in that may be more considered quote-unquote angels. In the investment world. So that's one of the things that we're really going to see that's going to be unique for 2013 is trying to close that gap and do that. But again, The Bachelor meets Shark Tank. So our 10 to 15 franchise companies, 15 is an absolute max. That would push the schedule to all limits. 10 is actually our preferred number. So 10 franchisors or multi-unit franchisees get an opportunity to spend 20 minutes up in front of the Shark Tank. So they are the Bachelor in this scenario for 20 minutes, and they get 20 minutes in front of the Shark Tank, which is all of these different size of equity funds. They tell where they've been, who they are, where they're at now, and what this blue sky is and what they're looking for the future, what they see for their companies, why they want the capital, and how much capital they're looking at. It's one of the big things we lost in 2012 is not enough people went for the ask. And all of us in sales know you got to go for the ask at some point.
Gotta have it.
And then we have some time to exchange questions. So our equity folks get to say, hey, have you thought about this or have you thought about that? What do you think about this opportunity? That, to me, was one of the most valuable parts of the whole session. And then we come together at the end, and we have reserved 4 hotel rooms that we actually turn into business suites, business conference suites. And if equity player A likes what Paul or Susan, the Bachelor and Bachelorette, had to say about their companies, then we set up 30 minutes for one-on-one confidential meetings in the business conference suites, and you get a chance to really take a deeper dive. And I think Dealmakers is a unique event in general, but there's absolutely nothing like it in the franchise space.
No, there absolutely is nothing like it in the franchise space. It definitely is the premier event in my mind and a lot of franchise executives' minds out there. And I know there's so much to learn. And what you described as far as, you know, the Bachelor or Bachelorette meeting Shark Tank is one aspect of it. But there was also, I know in the first one, and let me know about the second one, there were some breakout sessions. There were some informational sessions. So why don't you take us through what the schedule will be like? The attendee attends on the first day. Where do they go? How do they move through the entire schedule? And what do they, you know, kind of give us a visual of what they're going to be going through. I think that's the best way to do it.
Sure. Happy to do that. And all this is up on our website at dealmakersummit.com under the itinerary page as well. But we come in on Monday, which is August 26th this year, and on that evening we have just a real quick welcome reception, about an hour and a half. And folks should know that because this event is put on by folks like myself who really pride ourselves on hopefully understanding franchising and appreciating everything, all the nuances about it. I understand, and so do my partners, how important confidentiality is. And so before the event, nobody knows who's going to be there. So we put together what's called a deal book, but the whole deal book is redacted. And redacted means all of the names, companies, identifying traits are removed from the book. And so what we put in is, you know, 130 territory hauling and moving company, X, you know, millions of dollars in gross sales, geographic footprint of this, this, and this, but there's no CEO name, there's no leadership name, there's no identifying brand names. So that goes out in advance of the event. And so really the welcome reception, if you will, is kind of the big reveal. And it's where you get to see who the players are that are there and start to get to know each other. And really why I like to do that is, one, I like the big reveal. Two, I like having the ice broken the night before because it lets you lead into the first day going full steam ahead. You know, all your highs and hellos are out of the way. And also it's a place where people make their dinner connections. And that's exactly what I wanted to happen, was folks to start mingling up and say, hey, do you have dinner plans for tonight? Let's go to Carmine's, or let's go wherever you want to go, to many of the wonderful restaurants in Chicago that surround the Sofitel there in the Gold Coast. But Anyway, so that happens on Monday evening, and we will once again order up a perfect 82 and sunny with zero humidity for this year like we had last year, and hopefully that's exactly what we'll get. That was such an anomaly for late August in Chicago, but it was wonderful. So that's Monday night. Tuesday morning, another thing that makes Dealmakers a little bit unique, a lot of people that know me know I'm a triathlete, and staying healthy and fit on the road is somewhat hard for most of us. So just to kind of get out and shake our legs on Tuesday morning, we put together a small run where we go run out on Lake Michigan, and again, just another place to continue to get to know people and share a common interest and just get moving before we sit in meetings all day. So that happens Tuesday morning. Then we open with a session that's led by Amy Chang, who I truly believe is one of the premier transactional attorneys in franchising. She does a ton of M&A work. I could not believe, that's actually not true, I can believe, but I was so proud of her for the wonderful feedback we got from her event last year that she led. Her session was just outstanding. And so that'll be open to all attendees. And we haven't narrowed down exactly what her topic's going to be, but it's certainly going to be about the nuances of private equity funding for franchise companies, because there are very specific things that each of those entities needs to consider when you look at franchise businesses. So Amy, and I'm assuming Rick and possibly their partner Michael Daigle will all be a part of that. So that's how we will start. Then we go right into lunch, and I am so excited about our opening luncheon speaker this year. One of the pieces of feedback we heard last year was the panel was great with Ken Walker, John Rachi, Tabassum Mumtaz. The panel was great. We love their real-life stories. Keep doing that, but we also want to hear about real deals and how they happened, what was the genesis, what was the progression, and how did they ultimately come together, and what were some of the hurdles along the way. And so we're starting that off with the opening luncheon. So Kathleen Gilmartin, who's the CEO of Interim Healthcare, and Chris Cathcart, who's one of the principals at the Halifax Group, are going to be our opening keynote speakers. Halifax bought Interim from Sun Capital in 2012 in a huge transaction where there were multiple LOIs, letters of intent that came in for the Interim purchase. Kathleen is a very dynamic, outrageous, classy, knowledgeable, wonderful woman and leader. I cannot say enough about her. I respect her so much personally and professionally. And she led a team of people on this journey, which was outstanding. And ultimately, Halifax won the bid. I am a big Chris Cathcart fan. He is a really neat player on the equity side. Great young guy, wonderful sense of humor, who's very, very knowledgeable. And I know that between the heart that both of them have for what they do in these businesses, it's going to be an outstanding open to the event. So that's a really big deal, right? That was a big, big multi-million dollar deal that came together for Interim. So they're going to kick everything off. Then we roll into our spotlight presentations. That's the Bachelor in the Shark Tank time, where each company gets their 20 minutes up front. We do that throughout the whole afternoon. At the same time, so running in concert with the spotlight presentations are these educational sessions. This is one, Paul, where we asked you to come in and really talk about social media and how do we use that in our businesses. So each of our event sponsors and partners gets about 25 minutes to talk about something in their wheelhouse, what they're really, really good at, what their specialty is. But we build the whole educational session, again, to be basically a timeline from the inception of a deal all the way through the closing of the deal and transactions after the deal. And so we really want to provide good education and knowledge. All of our sponsors and partners are briefed beforehand that Dealmakers is a very comfortable event. It's very intimate. We want to be very professional. It is not a hard sell event. This is not a pitch time. Everybody is prefaced about that beforehand. We are really here for a knowledge share. And so that happens in concert with the spotlight presentations. And then you go into the evening and we have this great dinner networking reception where we're not sitting around at tables, but instead we're all at high boys and cocktail tables. And we've got all these stations where people can move around and talk and just engage with one another. I couldn't believe the noise in that room last year. That wasn't just noise. It was laughter. It was friendships being formed. It was deals getting done, and that was really powerful. For those who loved the piano player is confirmed to be back for 2013. Awesome. So we will once again have some beautiful music on that evening too. We come back Wednesday morning and we do the same thing again. We do spotlight presentations, one-on-one meetings, and we end the day with our closing luncheon, which people want to stick around for this closing luncheon. We have not fully confirmed the closing luncheon speaker, but whereas we have a really big equity transaction happening during the opening lunch in a non-food business, our closing speaker, we are very hopeful, is going to be a more intermediate-sized deal in the food sector with a company that's getting quite a bit of press right now for their equity deal, and the equity company that they partnered with is pretty high profile in the food side of the business. So we wanted to bring non-food, food, big deal, more intermediate size, a female CEO, a male CEO. Just we really hope to bring great balance, full perspective, and I think this guy is going to be is going to just be a great way to wrap up another, but hopefully just another wonderful event.
And hopefully a lead into the third annual Dealmaker Summit in 2014. I know you chuckle. I remember talking to you after the event last year, and we got a lot of positive feedback after our special edition show and certainly after the event itself. And I know you were anxiously awaiting for people to sign back up as sponsors and attendees, and I know you were quite surprised as they came in a very quick fashion. And as we're talking about
fashion.
That, so tell us about the sponsors, and also tell us about, you know, the team of support that you have that has contributed an unbelievable amount of work towards all of this.
I hope that all of your listeners out there can absolutely hear the smile on my face when I talk about all of the folks that have helped, you know, make this happen. This is certainly not anything that any one person could ever pull off, and I hope just the feedback we got is exactly what you said, Paul, is the sponsors turned right around and said, yeah. I mean, before they left the event, they said, we're back in 2013. You know, we're back. And so that was just such a huge, you know, just a great pat on the back to everybody that invested so much time, like yourself and so many others. So anyway, so Amy Chang and Rick Cohen from Chang Cohen are once again our titanium sponsors. We brought on a new sponsor this year, thanks to my buddy Jeff Colton making a great connection and introduction to BDO, who many of us in the franchise space are very familiar with because they do so much wonderful sponsorship in support of the International Franchise Association. So Jay Duke and Marcy Wright from BDO will be there as our gold sponsors. My buddy Rocco Fiorentino from Benetrends is back as a silver sponsor, and Fagri Baker Daniels with Brian Schnell and Kevin Hine as well as silver sponsors. Our friend Sandy Shoemaker at EKS&H, I'm so grateful to her for being there, and I know that you guys got a chance to reconnect through Dealmakers, which is awesome. Another new sponsor this year in Grant Thornton, and Wade Cruz will be there to represent Grant Thornton. My buddy Ryan Cunningham from Javelin Solutions is a sponsor this year as well, and so is Larry Myers at FC Dadson. So we've brought back all of our major cash sponsors from last year and even added a couple this year because of the buzz that came from 2012. So very, very, very proud of that. And our event partners are just the bomb. They are the best. I'm so glad to be working with Fishman PR, Deborah Vilches, and Julian Kennelly, and always grateful to Brad and Sherry for their just ongoing support of me. Sometimes I don't know why they're so gracious with me, but they are, and I'm so thankful for that. But Deb and Julian did an awesome job with the press release that hit the wire about a week and a half ago, and you and I exchanged some comments about how widely that was picked up by Wall Street Journal Online, WSJ.com. It was picked up by Yahoo Finance, MSNBC. We're getting a lot of press and pickup in Germany right now. I've gotten a fair amount of interest and pickup from Latin America, which has been outstanding, and so you know, Dealmakers was technically an international event in 2012 because we had a couple of representatives from Canada come in, but I am super excited to see if this might truly become an international event here based in Chicago, which would be, well, more than my wildest dreams would have ever thought possible. So Fran Data and Daryl Johnson, Franchise Business Review, that turkey Eric Stites, even though he's a Bruins fan, I'm going to have to say thank you to him. You know, Eric and I are battling it out right now with the Blackhawks and the Bruins going at it in the Stanley Cup, but so grateful to Eric for all of his support from Franchise Business Review, FPN, which is Franchise Payments Network, and our friend Tom Epstein. Fran-wise, obviously, I hope everybody knows Marianne O'Connell from there, and I'll happily talk more about her and Thelma and Rose here in a minute. Hot Dish, Dawn Kane. Dawn absolutely and her team took my vision for this very classy, very almost black tie feel event, but had such a comfortable feel to it is really what we wanted. The joke was that the logistics team of Marianne, Thelma, Rose, and myself, we hugged you guys on the way in and we're hugging you on the way out. I mean, that's just who we are, relationship people. And Dawn and her team took that vision, applied it to our website, applied it to the beautiful ad that was in Franchise Update magazine. And I just can't thank Dawn and her group enough. She's awesome. And she's a franchise queen. If you haven't seen the video on Facebook, you need to. And Plan Ahead Events based out of Tampa Bay, which is Thelma and Rose, and those two and Marianne are just they're just my lifelines. They're wonderful. So and I'd be absolutely remiss if I did not mention Gary and Therese at Franchise Update Media Group. Again, there is no media sponsorship of Dealmakers because of the confidentiality aspect. We do not open it to the media, but I don't understand why people are so gracious with their time and their resources with me, but Gary and Therese have been amazing, and Franchise Update, I'm really grateful for them.
Certainly, it's a heck of a team. The logistics team is extraordinary, great sponsors, a lot of great help, but obviously it's got to start at the top. You had the vision. Tell us a little bit about your board of advisors.
Oh, what a bunch of wonderful goofs these guys are, and I call them goofs with as much love in my heart as I can, and they're goofs because they are so darn busy with all of the many, many things they do. I don't understand why they're willing to take on one more crazy idea, but they believe in it, and I hope that they're doing it because they believe in me too. But Rocco Fiorentino from Benetrends, David Barr, who's a multi-unit franchisee and a franchisor, Todd Recknagel from AM Conservation, Aziz Hashim from the restaurant group, and Sebastian Muntaz, who's also a multi-unit restaurant franchisee. Those guys make up my board of advisors. I serve on the board of directors of the International Franchise Association with all of them, and that's really where I had the wonderful fortune to all of their acquaintance. And these guys have just been so willing. If you go to our website and check out their bios, you will see that many of them have equity background somewhere. And so they've either been the franchisor in an equity transaction, they are running big acquisitions themselves, or they have their own funds that they are looking at doing investments out of. I thought that was one of the funniest parts of Dealmakers last year is when Tabassum was up front with me and we're doing the panel on Wednesday morning. And if you remember, he kept swearing. And then he would look at me and he would go, can I say that here? Like he was on live television. Can I say that here? I'm like, Tabassum, you can say whatever you're comfortable with. But he's so passionate about his story. You know, the fact that the man started working, you know, at the grease fryer at a Long John Silver's, working in the back, and fast forward however many years later, and now he's part of the capital team that bought Long John Silver's? You know, not a Long John Silver's, but all of Long John Silver's. I just, you know, these guys have just been second to none. They have brought ideas to me, and they've done exactly what you hope a board of advisors will do. They've offered their opinion. They've told you what they're passionate about, and then they get the heck out of your way and let you run. And, you know, they challenge me a lot, and that is what I'm so grateful for. And I'm grateful for the fact that these guys, as anybody that knows any of them will absolutely attest to, you know, they can make really blunt, really critical statements, and you know they're doing it because they care. They're not doing it to be overly aggressive or to be mean. They're doing it to make the event better. They've absolutely made me better. And they're doing it because they care about franchising and they care about making a difference. And so I just don't feel like I could have surrounded myself with a, a better team than those guys on the board of advisors side. And like I said, my lifeline's on the logistics side.
Yeah, and unbelievable people, so approachable like yourself to people that aren't quite aware of the unity and the loyalty within franchising and the success that these individuals have. And they are just so approachable, as is, you know, everybody on your sponsor team, certainly on your logistics team. I think approachable should be the adjective that might best describe all of them. Just a great team. And, you know, I noticed this year, obviously, because last year was the first event, we have some testimonials on the site. And it's really interesting. And I think one in particular, to me, stands out as I was relatively new to the whole private equity space. Ron Erickson, the founder and CEO at Crown Business Holdings, and Ron and I had a chance to get together at the show as well as after the show. And he said, just a quick update to let you know the amazing results we are having as a result of being allowed to present our franchise acquisition and growth model to your group. Candidly, it's been beyond expectations. The interest in our business from your group was immediate and is ongoing. This is a great statement here. It would have taken us a year to accomplish what we did in 2 days at your event. Thanks again for filling this need in franchising. I mean, I think that just says it all, and I think it exemplifies and really confirms the interest, the wealth of knowledge, the great networking atmosphere, the confidentiality around it to make it comfortable to be able to talk in a time frame that is so quick that you have to go through introduction, get to know, feeling comfortable to the point of sharing confidential information in such a tight time frame. Kudos to you and your team. A just fantastic event, and I'm looking forward to this year's event unbelievably. You know, I think I might have lost Susan as we're talking. We'll wait to see if she gets back here. Really a great event. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to ask Susan, and hopefully she'll be calling back in here fairly quick, is the venue. I mean, they couldn't have picked, I think, a better venue than the Hotel Sofitel Chicago Water Tower. It provides, you know, 4-star downtown Chicago hotel accommodations, minutes from the Magnificent Mile, the Navy Pier, the Museum of Contemporary Art, Lake Michigan, upscale boutiques, exciting Rush Street nightlife. I mean, it's just tremendous. In the downtown area, the Chicago Hotel has a 32-floor prism of glass. It's got 415 rooms, 33 luxurious suites. And as Susan was saying, they're actually renting out some of four of the rooms to be used as conference rooms for private equity firms and franchisors to get together confidentially, privately, one-on-one, and I think that's really the key. You know, one of the things that we talk about testimonials, I have my own as CEO and president of Franchise Foundry. We get involved on such a small scale of private equity, but in talking with some of the individuals that work with private equity firms, we learned a lot. And as a direct result of spending some time with one of them at the event, we wound up in an acquisition of our own and purchased a small franchise company, the Current Exchange, last month. So those type of deals that really could come out of something like this and really is just a great opportunity. So I think, Susan, I guess we got you back. We lost you there.
You did. My gosh. Welcome to 2013 and all of our technology challenges.
I was just going over the venue and went through some of the highlights of the Hotel Sofitel Chicago Water Tower, which really is just an extraordinary venue. I mean, all the way from location to ambiance to the way the rooms are set up, the conference facilities, and, of course, I can never say enough about the food. It was just fantastic, and we're looking for more of the same this year as well.
We were actually one of the things we were happiest about last year is when we got the comment from folks that said, I eat a lot of conference food. This wasn't conference food. And I really appreciated hearing that, especially since a lot of my friends that were there are restaurant folks. And so they're kind of tough critics. We've got a couple of wine sommeliers in the group, or really wine aficionados, probably I should say, and restaurant folks too. So I was really pleased when they heard that, and we expect something. I don't know if we'll be able to top the watermelon, what was that, like a watermelon caviar salad or whatever that thing was in the beginning, Paul. But we'll do our best, and there'll always be good treats and eats. But one of the things that I like the most about the Sofitel, and there are several, but one of the things I like the most is just their attitude about service and how you take care of the guest. And so that was part of all of the vision for how we wanted the event to come together. We wanted it to be a very productive time where it felt like you were coming back together with friends. And so that level of service that the Sofitel provides, there's several things I'll probably never forget about Dealmakers 2012, but one of them was my buddy Aziz Hashim was interested in a cup of coffee in the afternoon. Well, we hadn't ordered coffee service for the afternoon, and so here goes Thelma. I think it was Thelma, and maybe it was Rose, but here goes Thelma. She goes and finds Aziz, a cup of coffee that the Sofitel helped her get and brought it to him in his chair, while he was listening to a spotlight presentation. And that's just the level of service that we want to provide and bring to the marketplace as a part of Dealmakers. It's a very unique and special event. We want people to feel that level of just, I hate to use the phrase catered to, but we want you to know that you're special to us, and we appreciate you being there and making us a part of the journey.
You mentioned Franchise Update Group. You mentioned Fishman Public Relations. And it is no irony that those two are also strategic partners of the Franchise Today Show. They are some unbelievably giving organizations, very professional. And I certainly couldn't thank, Gary, Therese, and Steve enough on the Franchise Update side. And definitely cannot thank Sherry and Brad and Deborah and the whole team there on the Fishman Public Relations side for all they do with Franchise Today in helping to promote and also making it available to be able to do so many of these shows and get Franchise Today into its fourth year, which is really unbelievable. And you mentioned food. Yeah, thank you. And you mentioned food at the Sofitel, and I have to throw a little bit of humor in here, and I know that Deborah Vilches is going to be listening to this. And it was interesting to see the size of the plate of food that little woman brought to the table. And we joke about that to this day. So, Deborah, that's my shout-out to you. Susan, and I think this is just exemplifies, like you said, this family-type atmosphere, this friendly type atmosphere, but yet in such a professional type of topic. I mean, obviously, private equity, franchising, giving up equity in a company in exchange for funding, bringing in additional people that will most likely help in the management and the direction of the company, often with founders that have put their life, blood, and guts into the company. It's kind of like, giving up, part of your family if it's not done correctly, and yet the atmosphere is so lighthearted and so friendly that I think the best way to look at it is it's not much different than making a deal across the family dinner table.
That's really the environment we want. And I want to continue to emphasize the point that you're making because it is an excellent one. There's all different kinds, just like there's all different kinds of franchise companies out there representing a whole bunch of different verticals and all sorts of industries and that kind of thing. There's all different kinds of equity companies out there too. We talked about the angels, which are more for the startups and the smaller size folks. Then there's kind of your intermediate size equity funds, and then you get into your really big funds. And there's different kinds in each of those different arenas. And so there are absolutely equity companies out there that it is their intention that the type of deals they look for are deals where they're going to come in and they're going to remove management and they're going to start fresh and they're going to bring in their own professional management teams. That absolutely happens. A lot of times that gets a bad rap because you hear about the way the deal went south or sour, but that was likely the intention all along. So you have to ask those questions as a founder, as the in-house CEO at the time, as to what the intention is. Now, I will not disagree that there are absolutely deals that are done that was not disclosed up front. That absolutely happens too. It happens in every line of business. But the other thing is there are lots of equity companies out there who what they're searching for is really good, strong management teams that they can come in and back. Maybe they do need to bring in a new COO, or maybe they need to bring in, you know, one person on the team to just strengthen and shore it up, but they really want to support the core team that's there. So if that's important to you as a founder or the current executive team, then you need to keep looking until you find an equity group or a capital partner that represents what you're looking for, because they are out there. And that's what I like about DealMakers. One of the 100 things I like about DealMakers is that we've got a wide selection of those people represented in that room. So bear in mind, DealMakers is an event intended to not be bigger than 100 people. That was one of the most adamant pieces of feedback that we got in 2012 was, Suze, please do not let this become a big conference, because we know it has the potential to be that. We could let anybody in, we could do all sorts of things that we could drive our number up and certainly get a lot of money off of registration fees. That's not what Mary Ann, Rose, and Thelma and I and our board of advisors are here to do, and that's certainly not what our sponsors and our event partners want the event to look like. We want it to be about 75 to 100 people that literally when, you know, Chris, the equity guy, walks up to me and says, hey, Susan, I wanted to meet the principal players of this franchise. Would you mind making an introduction? I can walk them over and say, hey, George, this is Chris. Here's what Chris does. He wanted to meet you. And I did that several times last year, as did Mary Ann, Thelma, Rose, the board of advisors. Like you said, it's a very approachable, just a very friendly, no-nonsense group all the egos are checked at the door. And that's important to me. I don't have a lot of time for ego or arrogance. And so check those at the door, and we're all just here to advance the cause. So we want the breakdown to be about a third, a third, a third. So a third of the people there represent franchise companies. A third of the people there represent equity or folks in acquisition mode or looking to purchase. And a third represent our event partners and our event sponsors. So we really want to keep that balance. And we thought that was really important to the overall kind of nature of the event, and I feel like we really did hit that. Amazingly enough, last year, almost to the person, it was a third, a third, a third, and I would like to say it was my brilliance, but it was really just an act of God or some, you know, act of Franchise Update Group helping us with our email campaign and you helping us with the radio show and everybody pitching in, but it did come together that way, and that's absolutely what we're striving for this year. But one of the important things that I don't know would ever come out unless it came from one of the logistics teams. We did have folks that were there as franchisors last year that pitched their concepts where they were the bachelor in front of the shark tank. And some of the questions that they got asked and some of the thoughtful consideration that other people gave them really encouraged them to evaluate the future of their companies, not whether they were going to go away or grow, not to that extent, but to the extent that they got a chance to say, gosh, is franchising the right business model for my concept? Now, there are a couple of schools of thought out there, Paul, as you have met over your years in franchising, and I'm certainly learning in my career as well. There are people out there who think that you can franchise anything. Right. Absolutely anything can be franchised. Mm-hmm. Stick an FDD on it and call it good and let's start selling this thing.
Yep.
I am from a different school of thought, and I frankly don't know where you fall on the spectrum, and if you'd like to share, that'd be awesome, but if not, we'll have a coffee over it sometime. But I am from the school of thought that not every business is intended to be franchised, that the model does not work well for every single business concept that is out there. I believe that there certainly are businesses that franchising is absolutely the right method for expansion. And so some of these guys that were there, I can think, I got Andy's face in my head right now. And he said, Susan, if it wasn't for deal makers, we believe that we would have absolutely went down the wrong business path for our business.
Yeah.
So
I do agree with you, Susan. It's not, franchising is not right for every business concept, nor is it right for every founder's personality as well.
True. True.
And I think the same probably can be said about private equity. I think a founder's personality has a lot to do with it as far as entertaining a relationship with a private equity firm.
Agreed. And a capital partner at any level. I mean, I look at my folks,
right.
and this is not private knowledge, so I'll share it. You know, my folks are 100% owners of Superwash, Inc., and have been for the last 36 years. The only true corporate partners they've ever had are each other. And so for them to now have 36 years in the business, you know, be Hall of Fame for the International Car Wash Association, own all or part of 140 locations themselves, I mean, all of the things that they've accomplished, for them to now say, yeah, we'd like to go to the next level, and in order to do that, we're willing to sell 51% of the company, stay in as management, and now work with somebody that's going to come tell us how to do it better or different?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know
yep.
that that's going to fly. I just don't know that's
yep.
going to fly. So I agree with you that every time a founder or a, you know, in-house executive team, they really need to say, is this right for us? We had a great concept come to us here a couple weeks ago. I was super excited about them. I am such a deal person when it comes down to my core. I love the thrill of it, and I love meeting these new concepts. But it was a 60-unit restaurant group out of the West Coast, and they're just starting to explore what their options are. So the path I've already been down, and it's the real reason for deal makers, so on and so forth. And ultimately, they decided that this is not the year for them because they are finding out how much really goes into considering a transaction like this. And so part of what I like about the shift for 2013 for deal makers is you're not taking this huge leap of private equity or not private equity, and you're not going to meet anybody other than private equity here. I can't wait for those guys. A lot of those equity guys have gotten to be good friends of mine. I can't wait to see them and hopefully lead them to deals that are going to be really profitable for them down the road. But we've also got these other individual, quote-unquote, angels. We've got some of the smaller funds there, so you can start to dip your toe into the water. And there's no more commitment needed other than showing up in Chicago and giving a 20-minute presentation than you want there to be. This is not meant to be, you know, sign on the dotted line before you leave. We're just trying to make the connection. We're trying to build the relationships so that maybe when you get 6 months down the road, you can say, you know what? Oh, I met Paul. He said I could give him a call as we were starting to really put together our book and consider what we wanted to do. I think I'll do that.
I think one of the things I said when you had dropped off the air was an individual that I met at the event that was employed by one of the private equity funds, and we struck up a pretty good relationship and conversation, and that lasted, you know, months after that, just a matter of fact to this day, and he was very instrumental in putting me and Franchise Foundry through certain steps that led to us acquiring a small franchise company, the Curtain Exchange, just recently. So there's so many things that could come out of this. Steve Rogers from Four Box Holdings, first time I ever met him, fantastic individual. He says,
awesome.
You never know when a great opportunity could come your way. At Dealmakers Summit last summer, I reconnected with some young entrepreneurs I knew from a past life and became a partner in their new enterprise. Classy venue, positive energy, interesting ideas. Try it. And as we start wrapping up this special edition of Franchise Today, let's talk a little bit about the nuts and bolts as far as what's left available. How can people sign up? Are there spots available? What are those spots? And give us a little bit of the nitty-gritty about that.
So we've got several companies in the pipeline right now that this year, Marianne O'Connell and I, Marianne's the president of FranWise, she and I have kind of split responsibilities, which has been amazing help. And the folks at Plan Ahead Events Tampa Bay have taken on all of the sponsorship side of things, all the hotel logistics. So the four of us really make a pretty balanced and amazing team who have a ton of fun along the way. It doesn't even feel like work because we enjoy each other's company so much. And I'm sure you've had business relationships like that before. But anyway, so Marianne and I have split the responsibility. So she's really working with the franchisors and qualifying the franchisors this year, talking with them and really engaging with them, whereas I'm really heading the front of the equity side this year. And so certainly I've talked to, you know, I've talked to franchise companies and Marianne talked to equity companies, but we've each got our focus this year. So she's really got the pipeline as far as the franchise companies go. She's doing an amazing job, and the buzz is really now starting. And so we came off the IFA Board of Directors meeting in Chicago where there was a great buzz. You know, the ad had hit in franchise updates, May issue. That issue will go to IFE this week. So that'll be out there for people to see. Marianne is going to be at IFE. So if you see Marianne, give her a hug from me. And she'll be out at IFE working that. The franchise update email blasts will start going out this week. We're running a constant contact campaign. Every week we're sending out updates and information. So people can always email me to get on that list, which we are just dealmakerssummit@yahoo.com. So dealmakers with an S at the end and summit, so two S's in the middle, dealmakerssummit@yahoo.com is where people can find me. My cell phone number is all over the Dealmakers website, which can be found. It's out on the Facebook page. It's certainly on my personal, on my speaking website and that stuff too. So people can always track us down, but there's only 8 franchisor spots really left. And so we want to get people in here that are looking for capital, whether it's private equity funding or angel investing, what they're looking for. We want to get them in here. We want to get them qualified, make sure they fit what we're looking for, because we're trying to, remember, we're trying to narrow that gap this year. We want to be really true to that. And so we want them to get a hold of us, get signed up. The early bird rate only goes through the end of June. So as of July 1, all of the rates crank up by $200 per person. So we want to get as many people registered by June 30th as we can, get them in the door, and then we come back and just keep working our campaigns. And so we're really hopeful that we'll have some interest generated by this show, and just really glad to keep spreading the word and helping people understand this part of the transactions.
Thank you, Susan. And the website is dealmakerssummit.com. Don't just do a Google search. There's a few other references that come up. So it's just go right to dealmakerssummit.com. Susan?
I will say real quick, though, Paul, that's a different one because there's only one S in the middle of that one. Somebody is squawking on my two S in the middle, Dealmakers Summit. But Dealmakers Summit with just one S in the middle of the website, two S's in the middle of the email address. I know it's confusing. We hope to keep working that out as we build the brand going forward.
Well, thanks for clarifying that. I'm glad I mentioned it then. Susan, always my pleasure to have you on the show and to help you any way that I can, myself and Christian and the entire team at Franchise Foundry.
Well, we're so grateful. Thank you so much for everything you're doing, and we can't wait to see you on a beautiful day in August.
Sounds great. I look forward to it. Tomorrow, Franchise Today on a regular show, as our third segment of the Franchise Model Series, we'll be talking franchise sales and development with the president of Franchise Dynamics, Robert Stidham. I really look forward to that. Next week, my guest is Amit Pametcha from FranConnect as we talk technology and franchising. Really a great time at Franchise Today. Really a great time franchising. Again, if you're in the New York area, visit the IFE at the Jacob Javits Convention Center. Say hello to Marianne O'Connell and a bunch of other people, great folks in franchising at the IFE. And then, of course, next week at the Franchise Update, Franchise Consumer Marketing Conference on the 25th and the 26th in Buckhead, Georgia at the Ritz-Carlton. Really great event. Make sure you attend. Until then, my name is Paul Segreto, wishing you the best, the very best, in this great thing we call franchising. Franchise Today is